This morning, as you heard, we have a testimony service. Yes. Yes, Stefan. Stefan's excited because he's first up. But the point of a testimony service is that we just create space for the stories that are going on that some of you know about and some of you don't know about to be shared from the pulpit, because God gets glorified when we speak of who He is and what He has done. When we testify, and the Bible says that one generation speaks the praises of God to the next. What happens is God gets the glory and our faith gets stirred. Hey, how amazing is that? And that's why we have a testimony service. And we got such a diversity of testimonies this morning, from what would seem seemingly insignificant to physical healings. The Lord has done just amazing things in our congregation in the last few weeks and months. And so, without further ado, we've got Mr. Van der Merwe. Let's give him a hand.
Morning, church. I hope you're all well. And just to be grateful to be in church. And even if Eskom is not working, we have battery power. So may we be grateful and appreciate what we have. Mine is a bit short, but it happened quite a while ago. We've got four kids, so very important thing, if you've got four kids, you've got to have a trampoline. Guaranteed, without that, the kid's going to not get out of their energy. So our trampoline was about a while ago well used, and it needed a new one, or it needed a new mat and new springs. And we googled and found on Takealot a new carpet or mat. What do you call it? A mat. It wasn't that expensive. It's just an aftermarket mat that you can buy. The only problem is ours got 64 springs. And they 20 rand a spring. So that works out over 1,280. So that, I thought, the mat only cost, 400, 500 rand. So I thought, okay, well, we need a trampoline. The kids are going crazy without the trampoline. So in faith, I'm going to buy the mat. And then hopefully with my work at some client, they're going to have some springs in their garage. And they're going to say, listen, just take it. It's just rusting here or something. And I'm going to, okay, let me go with that. And we ordered the mat, and I thought, okay, and it's almost on its way. I think it's about 2 days left, and it's coming. I was like, what are we going to do with a mat without any springs? We can't hold it there, you know. The kids want to jump up and down. And the next morning, I got a phone call from Melisa at church, and she said, listen, she's with us in a small group, and she said, I've seen your trampoline might need some new bits, and we're cleaning out the church, and in one cupboard we found a plastic bag full of trampoline springs. And I was like, wow, okay, God is busy here. And I was like, we actually ordered the mat just now, and we were waiting for the springs to arrive, so this is from God, definitely. And she said, well, actually it was left here years ago by, I think it was Thais that was here in our church, the electrician, and he left it for Moja, and actually old mat, but the mat was like ours, not in a good shape, but the springs are still good, and they're all here, so you can come and get them. I was like, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, God. So, that's my testimony for this morning. Thank you.
And you know why we like that testimony so much? Because it seems insignificant, a bunch of springs. But the fact is, God is in the detail. That, you know, that Stefan would stand in faith for something so specific. Trampoline springs. And one morning we're busy trying to clear out those benches at the back there, and I pick up this bench. I'm like, this is very heavy. And I opened this thing. Here's this bag of springs that's been in there for a year or two. And I was like, you know, we don't need this. And but clearly, the Funamervis needed it. So happy jumping, Funamervis. It's an awesome testimony. Oderlang, Derek, are you ready? There we go.
Morning, everyone. Yeah, isn't it wonderful that God's in the detail? That builds your faith, huh? Okay, this testimony is a little bit different. A few weeks ago, not too many, Hendrina, who helps my wife in the house a couple of days a week, came to work, and we just got up, she just arrived, and Hendrina comes to me and says, Mania moved for my bed. So I was like, okay, Hendrina, we'll pray for you. That's fine. We've prayed for you before. And her knee was really painful. And I saw afterward when I looked at her knee, my goodness me, it was really swollen. She was just wearing leggings and you could see it was swollen, seriously. And Hendrina asked us to pray for her, so we prayed for her. Rosita got the oil out, anointed her with oil, prayed for her. I felt absolutely nothing. I don't know what Rosita felt, but I felt nothing. And so, amen. And we opened our eyes, and Henrina said, when you were praying, she felt a warm sensation go through her leg from top to bottom. Oh, okay, great. Praise the Lord. And so she carried on with her work. And Wednesday, Rosita went to the neighbor, and Hendrina was much better, and by Saturday when she came to work, it was completely healed, fixed, sorted. And so I just praise the Lord. You know, that warm sensation going through her body showed clearly to me this was not just this thing's going to get better after a few days. That was the divine hand of God on a very, very sort of ugly looking leg, if I can say at that stage, in terms of inflammation. And so we praise the Lord for that, but it was wonderful. The Lord just quickened something for me when Hendrina asked us to pray for her. And that was this scripture. I want to read it to you. Scripture in James says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." And you know, I think that the Lord just quickened this to me in a way that we miss it sometimes. There's more than one way of getting healing in the kingdom of God, you know. As we've been emphasizing lately, you know, the Lord gave us authority. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We can say, be healed in Jesus' name. They can be healed. A demon can be cast out of someone that can be causing sickness. They can be healed. There's more than one way of healing. And we will often say if someone's sick, okay, come, sit down. We'll pray for you and we'll get the oil. And all of that is good. But what just struck me with this is that the scripture says here, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." And it struck me that Hendrina was calling for the elder when she said, Mania moved for my bed. It was like, I'm calling you to pray for me. You know what I mean? And I think this is just something that we often miss. It's not that the pastor has to pray for people or the elders have to pray for people. We all pray for people and we've all got the anointing. But sometimes there's a specific situation where the Lord, if we are sick, where the Lord wants us to call for the elders and say, please, come pray for me. I'm sick. Come anoint me with oil. And if that's a specific, and I think the Lord just wants me to share this today to, so that we understand that sometimes that's a specific way of doing it. And if we don't know that scripture, we'll never do it. But if we do know it, then there may be a time in our lives when we need to actually not wait for the elders to come to us or the pastor to come to us, but phone and say, please, I'm sick. Come and pray for me. And I think, why is it necessary sometimes, I think? Well, maybe it's an act of faith to pick up the phone and say, come and pray for me. Because it's putting our faith out there to say that if the elder or the pastor comes to pray for me, the Lord's going to touch me and heal me. So it's a point of faith in many ways. So just to repeat, it's one way of being healed. There are many ways. We don't have to, everyone, all of us pray, and that's part of the new covenant, that the anointing is on all of us. But sometimes there's a specific thing. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Derek. That is so good. Bless you. Melisa, let's give Melisa a hand. Rushing in from the kids' church.
Feels like Stefan and I had a relay. Okay, good morning, everyone. My testimony actually goes way back, like 10 years, but I recently spoke to Jolene about it, and she asked me to share it today. Sorry, I'm a bit out of breath because I ran down. So my testimony is about the power of words and what you speak over people, and knowingly or even sometimes unknowingly. So about 10-ish years ago, I was praying one evening, and I just felt to pray for my future husband. At that time, I was single for actually almost my whole life, and I was I just felt I needed to pray about it. And some of you might remember Kat, who used to be here, and I used to tell her, like, it's like I'm invisible, Kat, like I'm not even noticed at all. I'm like almost 26. It's been, single life. But anyway, so, and I really had a heart's desire to marry, and I felt it was some part of what God has for my life. But, I just felt invisible in a sense, and I prayed about it one night. I just felt led in my quiet time to pray, and I asked God, why do I feel this way? Like, you know, people say, no, man, but it was just a feeling I had. And as I was praying, the Lord showed me when I was about a teenager, I used to love to spend time with my mom in the kitchen and with my gran when they cooked. And I often sat on the kitchen counter next to the stove, and I would stir the pot or help with something. And whenever my gran saw me, she would say, a meisie wat op die rak sit of op die tafel sit, kry nie 'n man nie. And so in English it means like a girl who sits on a counter or a table doesn't get a husband. Like, that's like a rule, you know, they had these little sayings. And yeah, I just, and it was kind of said in a joke. I mean, my grandmother was a believer and she was born again. So it wasn't like she was deliberately saying something or like a curse. But God just showed me that that was like a curse that was spoken over me, and I must break it. So I prayed, and I was just by myself in the room, and I just asked God, I just prayed in Jesus' name to break anything that has spoken as a curse over me, that I will not get a husband because of this stupid Afrikaans saying. I broke that, and it was less than a year, or in that same year later, I met Juan. And 11 months later, we were married. And Fiona might remember, I moved to Stellenbosch to work there at the church. And she used to say, oh, you're just going to Stellenbosch to meet your husband, and then you'll be right back. And so that was kind of true. Maybe she was prophesying without knowing. So, yeah, I went to Stellenbosch, and in about a few months I met Joanne. And yeah, we dated for a while, got engaged and married all under a year. So yeah, I just want to encourage you guys, like, if ever you feel like that you're stuck in a way, or you feel you're not moving forward, or the Holy Spirit prompts you, don't just dismiss it. If it's something that keeps on coming back and God is showing it to you, pray about it, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you if there's something that was spoken over your life, and then You've got the authority to break that in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. And what I really like about her testimony as well, it seems insignificant. It's just a passing comment. But that's what the Holy Spirit highlighted to her. Now, so I think what I like about what she shared is us cultivating a relationship where when the Holy Spirit says something and it's specific to us, we can be obedient to that instruction. And there's so much for that, that can be said for that prophetic obedience, just following something seemingly insignificant and the Lord brings massive breakthrough. Praise God. Felicity, come and share with us. Let's give Felicity a hand.
I'm not sure. Oh gosh. Sorry, I'm more useless with these things. Shall we just start? Since Jolene messaged me, I was like, this is important. I need to kind of get this out right. And I've been thinking about it. And my plan was to get up calm this morning, have quiet time, and just have a stalled start. It did not go like that. We had Josh's 6th birthday, which was, he invited everyone. It was crazy. And they just kept arriving. I don't know. They said they had a jaw. It was exhausting. We went to bed really early. Well, I couldn't sleep. Midnight, I wake up. Power's back on. Fall asleep. 2 o'clock, Josh is coughing for like an hour. Can't get him to stop. Fall asleep. 4 o'clock, park there. Get back to sleep. Quarter to six, I'm like, power goes off. Oh, my goodness. I was like boiling a kettle, having coffee. I was like, oh, my goodness. It's the furthest from calm. I've got allergies where I was sneezing for like 3 hours. My nose is blocked with Bernie. So if ever I realized that it's important to say something, it's kind of this morning. And also the ironic part is I used to do Deloitte, like technical audits, tax consulting, and I was confident. I used to advise Sasol and MTN and National Treasury. I was cool as a cucumber. This morning was like, oh my goodness, you idiot, like what's wrong with me? So long story short, well, not really. I used to ride horses, and so I'm broken, like just pretty much everywhere. I was 25, so that's 15 years ago. I got told I had no more ligaments, no more rotator cuff, nothing in my shoulder. I couldn't, yeah, it did just dislocate. Like, I mean, eventually it got so bad. I was like, oh, don't worry, I'll call them back. And people would be like, oh, goodness. So it's crazy. And also you don't realize how normal something like that can become to you. I mean, I sit there and I would try to lift something up and I'd park there and I couldn't change gears. I'd just reach across. You get so accustomed to it. And it's kind of, I was thinking this morning and it was like, because shower time is my quiet time. I put my music on and then whatever they're doing, I can't hear it. So it's okay. And there's no smoke, so I'm good. And I was thinking, I think it's the same as when you're hungry. You know, and you're busy working and you keep on going, get distracted, you keep working. And only when you eat again like 12 hours late, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so hungry. And it's kind of the same thing. I got so used to the pain and the discomfort. I was just kind of like, whatever, it's normal. It doesn't matter. And only after, I mean, literally this morning, it's just like, it's bad. Because I kept on like, I've been repenting the whole week. Going, why am I feeling so bad? Why am I doubting it? Why am I, I'm like scared any day it's going to fail. And I'm kind of like, it's the faith and kind of it's not. And it's so undeserving. And it's kind of, it's, I suppose it's in the undeserving way we actually realize that it doesn't matter. I mean, sure. Like for me, there's people way worse off. And I literally can lift my hand up. I can turn it around. I can go around. And this morning, kind of, in the shower, he was like, I must test him. Because it was kind of like, well, if you want to test me, go ahead and test me. I was like, okay, cool. So I don't know. I'm going to try. I've not lifted anything with the shoulder in like 15 years. So because they told me, so I don't know if there's anything to lift. anyone have anything heavy to lift? Oh. There we go. Yeah, baby bags. Baby bags are heavy. Okay, cool. So, let's see. There we go. So, okay. It's not dislocated. So, yeah, it's been an interesting week. Yeah, that's all I've got to say.
Thank you. Thank you, Felicity. Her testimony came about after the healing service, what is it, about a month ago, where Jolene just led us with that service. And she shared on our small group, she just posted, I think, in that week. And we were like reading, like, what? you didn't come on that Sunday and share it, but I just realized, you know, there were so many things that even happened on that Sunday that we didn't hear. It came out in the days afterwards. But I just loved Felicity's boldness in sharing it on the group. And it was such an encouragement to our small group because we've been on a journey with her and just to see God come through for her in such a special, meaningful way. So thanks for sharing, Felicity. Tani Joanne, let's give her a hand.
Yeah, so Derek said the Lord has different ways of healing. We heard now that was a word of knowledge, I think, that she was held with. And this Derek, the elders came. And in my case, actually, I need to just give you a little bit of background because the Lord just reminded me this morning, a man's heart, it's Proverbs 16, verse 9, plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So me, a couple of years back, you know, I lived happily in Franschhoek. And then I didn't know at the time, but the Lord was calling me to the Valley of Life. I'm in the retirement village there. It was being built, and it was a whole thing. But eventually I got there. And the Lord said to me when I was complaining, because I didn't want to leave here. And the Lord said to me, when you get there, you'll find that I'm there. I'm waiting for you. And I thought, okay. So I went. And then I was there for a couple of months, not even. And some of the ladies invited me to go on a few days retreat. And just my normal me, every time we had dinner, breakfast, lunch, dinner, I'd pray. I said, come, let's pray. And I'd pray and carry on. And I didn't even think much of it. And then they asked me if we could start a Bible study. I said, oh. So, I mean, the Bible study was, it was just heaven sent because it wasn't even in my mind. So we started the Bible study. The Lord started the Bible study. And we are about 26 old ladies. Well, no. Mature people. There. And a major thing is happening amongst the people because they are all Christian, born again Christian, but they don't know the truth. So the Lord has given me a platform to share the gospel, the glorious gospel of the blood of Jesus. Anyway, and one of the ladies' husband fell in the middle of the night. Now, we are a retirement village, stuff happens, and he broke a hip that was replaced. So the peg with a pin that goes down into the bone, into the leg, actually broke the femur. So the man was lying there, long story, he went to hospital, and he had to have this major op, and she called me and said, will you please pray for my husband on a little voice note so that I can play it to him because he's worried about the op and stuff, and it's very, very painful. So I prayed, and as I was praying, the Lord just quickened a scripture to me that said, I will protect him because he knows and understands my name. And as I was praying it, and I said to him, this is for you, and carried on praying. And that man grabbed hold of it. So the Lord, the word that Lord reminded me, as Derek was saying, he says, he sent his word and healed him. So the Lord sent a word. Now, this man has been in the hospital in and out for about 3 months because he got infection in this leg and stuff. And every time I would send them a word. So this was just an interesting thing. But, you know, I am amongst a lot of unbelievers as well. So I've just been doing not much, playing bridge with some of the people. And the one lady said to me, I hear you're a devout Christian. I thought, what? I've never even heard that word. Anyway, so she asked me about my faith. And I shared with her, and she said, she talked about religion. I said, no, but I have a relationship with Jesus. So she said, what is a relationship? So I could tell her, and it was just how the Lord is working, you know. Another lady and her husband, I met Derek Rosita as well, and I sort of, we testify, they hear Rosita, never keeps quiet. So she just testified to them. And then at some stage, the Lord opened a way for me just to speak to them a bit about Jesus. And then he said, no, he was hurt in church and he's not interested. And then I said to him, okay, but if you get into trouble someday, will you please call on the name of the Lord? Because it's not the Lord that rejected you, it's the church. And then they went overseas, and she said they walked into a art gallery, and there was this huge painting of Jesus hanging on the cross. And when they came back, she told me this, and she said they both stood there gobsmacked for I don't know how long. I would just see how the Lord is, through little things, sowing seeds. And I trust the Lord for those seeds to grow. And even if I don't get it in my lifetime, those seeds will grow and bear fruit. So that's my testimony.
Yeah, we were really, really upset when Tani Joanne graduated further down the valley. And we thought we'd lost her for good, but she comes back often enough. But what has been so encouraging was just to see the Lord's plan for the next phase of her life. And it's just so inspiring, you know, with Tani Joanne and Derek and Rosita and these the more elderly folk, you think they'd slow down, but they're actually putting their foot on the spiritual accelerator. It's like, use me more, God, use me more, until they one day hit glory. And it's just so inspiring to see a new chapter unfold in her life, and just to hear the testimonies. I mean, that was one she shared. So many of us, just the ladies she meets in the mornings and, you know, prays with, and the groups within the, I don't know, so quick, there were a whole bunch of people in a lounge just hanging on her lips, and she was just sharing the gospel. So you can be God's agent and ambassador anywhere. You don't need to work for the church. You can be on a retirement, at a retirement village, and the gospel can be so, so spreading just through your obedience. So thank you, Joanne, for sharing that. Then, second, lastly, we've got Shanae. Let's give Shanae a hand.
Morning, everyone. I can't believe that it's been a month since the healing service. So, Lael had his baby dedication here a month ago, and our family came over, because it's a big thing in our family. My mom was sitting here, and I, you know, when Jolene said it's going to be a healing service as well, I was like, okay, you know, Charlotte's grandmother's in a wheelchair, she's going to get healed. My aunt's got diabetes, she's going to get healed. Like, it's going to be guns blazing in the church. And, we didn't even realize that when Jolene also sent me a message, I called my mom and I was like, listen, mom, Jolene said I need to share your testimony. And, I mean, she had a lot to say. But it was something so small in my eyes. And I, even this weekend, I had to repent about how small I thought it was. Because when I, even this morning thinking about it, my mom, when she came, Lel was born. And 2 weeks later, she came and she helped us. And she nearly dropped him. She can't see. So I actually prefer her without the glasses because it actually works better. We were walking down the street in town and she nearly walked into a car with a pram. She was sitting once and we had dinner and she didn't see the plate in front of her and she dropped the plate. So her eyesight was really bad. It even got worse. She was watching St. Wister. And she had some chemicals on her hair, and it actually went into her eyes. Later on, a few weeks after that, she actually fell at work. So her eyes were getting really bad. She went for x-rays. She had broken some bone around her eye, and her eyes just started deteriorating. So she came to church. She got treatment from the doctors. She had some stuff that she had to put into her eyes like 6 times a day. And after the healing service, we were all standing outside, and my mom, that doesn't talk much, was going on about how her eyes are healed. She could see better. She didn't need the glasses. When I told her that Jolene wanted me to share, she said, "Tell Jolene, I don't need those drops anymore. I still put them in, but I don't need them." So yeah, my mom's healed. And yeah, I thought that, you know, my father was coming and it's his third marriage and probably going to need some healing in that aspect. And this morning when I thought about it, I was like, how can God heal something in our family if my mom can't see? So yeah, she's healed.
Thanks, Shanae. I am the final testimony, unless we can, if there's any spontaneous ones, we can do that as well. But my testimony is from this week. Let me backtrack a second. So if you don't know, we're starting a retreat center here called a healing center, this building over here. And it's got a couple of phases that you're mostly aware of. And one of the phases was a multi-purpose field there right at the top. So that is quite a big area right at the top that we, for about 2 months, we've been working systematically and getting it more and more level, because we want to essentially put this multi-purpose field and eventually put on roll-on lawn. And it's quite big. It's about 2,000 squares of grass that we're going to eventually put down. So it's kind of like a little mini soccer field, or kind of a decent-sized, not a full-size, but a decent-sized soccer field. But as we were working with the digger loaders and the tractors, and we're scraping the ground and excavating, we shifted serious tons of ground from the top, which was higher, to the bottom, to try and get it at the right angle. They measure it with these dumpy meters, and you've got to get the flow of the water and everything right. As we started working the ground, we realized that our piece of ground right at the top has just got two things. Number one, clay, and number two, gravel. Like I said, gravel is a combination of stone and sand. Okay, but for grass to grow, you need soil. Okay, so to be completely honest, we expected a bit more soil than what we got. And so we got a whole lot of clay. If anybody wants clay in church, you're just welcome to drive up there and just load as much as you want in and take it away. and so as we kind of, we put in the drainage system and with the kind of the gravity flow and everything, as we started working this ground, I realized how much actually proper soil we're going to need, I realized, we're in trouble. Yeah, just budget-wise, for the budget that's allocated for the multi-purpose field. Because I thought somewhere there would be a little bit of soil that we could use, but clay and gravel it was. And so I just started praying. I was like, God, you need to help us here. We need soil, and we need quite a lot of it. And so I started phoning around, and the guy started doing the sums for me, saying, "You want 2,000 squares of soil, or grass? You need at least about between 10 and 20 centimeters, given the compression factor and everything, of decent soil. So you're looking at minimum 200 cubes, minimum, to get a layer of soil." And the quotes came in at 180,000 rand for 200 cubes. I'm like, Lord, that does not fit in the budget. It's a completely, in a sense, an unbudgeted item. I'm like, okay, God, we need a miracle. And so the Lord led me to phone a man in the Shofar Somerset West congregation who does supplies of kind of sand and stone and kind of bulk supplies. And he also did the sum for me, and he came and had a look, and he said, no, you need a miracle. If you want to plant any grass here, I said, I know I need a miracle. So he said, just give me a day or two. I'm just going to phone around and I'll come back to you. And he started phoning people in the valley and in Paul. And he's phoning kind of the big construction companies, like the GH kind of companies in the Western Cape, and saying, you know, is there any chance you guys are busy with a big excavation and you need to take out a whole lot of soil? You know, I've got this church man who needs a lot of soil. And I'm just praying. I'm like, Lord, we need a miracle. And then vragies vaar. The local GH guys are busy with the excavation just up the road, just past Le Hermitage and before Hout Cabrier. I went and met the manager there, and he says, you'll come down and come and have a look what we're busy with here, and I'm going to have a look at what he's busy excavating. And it's not like perfect topsoil, like proper topsoil is proper topsoil, like organic, weed-free. This is not it. But at this stage, I've got clay and I've got gravel. So anything better than that, I will take. They've got these huge excavators and what are these massive tipper trucks that are operating there. We start speaking, and I say to him, he says, well, I'll start dumping the loads here at your church. I'm like, okay, before you dump anything, how much is this going to cost? Because I've got the quotes, and I don't have that kind of money. And he says to me, no, nothing. Yeah. And so he said, because what I need to do is I need to drive way out of town. I need to go and dump it right outside of town. So you saving me money. And so I'm like, Jesus, thank you. And so it was crazy. This week, I praise God, I didn't have to preach because I was basically on this mud pile here at the back, just directing tipper trucks most of the week, and just saying, you dump here, you dump there, and you guys can walk up off the church and just gonna have a look. I mean, we have got more soil than we need. We have got way in excess of 200 cubes of soil. Some of it is kind of semi alright, and some of it is really great. But the point of the matter is, we've got all the soil that we need. We need to work it because it's got a whole lot of bricks and stones and stuff in. But that's the least of our worries. We've got soil for free, and we praise God for that. And you know, the amazing thing was, as me and Stefan were talking to him, Friday. You could see he was completely baffled as well, you know, and he said to me, this is so weird. In 8 years, I haven't had so much ground, and then you called me. And now, you know, he says, you guys are really lucky. I'm saying, like, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed, brother. So, yeah. So that is just, you know, we've heard miracles this morning, and some of them are provision, some of them are or physical healing, some of them emotional healing. Some of them are as insignificant as trampoline springs. But the point is God is at move, and God is working. And He's working right here, right now. And I felt this morning as we were praying that there's going to be something for everybody here. There's going to be something that you're going to relate to. You're going to say, yes, that challenges me, that inspires me, that stirs my faith. And I trust this morning that everyone will go home filled in the Spirit, that there would have been a piece of spiritual bread that you could have eaten this morning and be encouraged by. But I also felt that we also need to respond this morning. So let's just close our eyes, and I'm going to pray for us. Jesus, we want to give you all the glory. Lord, we want to put our boast in you. Father, we want to boast in your name, in your works, in your hand, your deliverance, your provision, your healing. Lord, it's all you, Jesus. And we come and respond this morning with thanksgiving. and praise and adoration. And we bless you, Father, for the testimonies this morning. We bless you that you're alive, that you're working, and that there's evidence, God, of your goodness, your mercy. Lord, your hand is always reaching out. You're always saving. You're always stretching forth your hand to save and deliver and provide. And we just praise you that we serve a God who's alive, a God who's working, a God whose kingdom is extending. We thank you for the evidence, Jesus, that you see the smallest detail. Because your word promised, Lord, you said that not a hair drops from our heads without you noticing. God, you know every situation this morning. You know every person that's walked in here this morning. You know their circumstances, Lord. You know their challenges. You know their past, Lord. And you know their future. And so, Father, I want to pray this morning that we would not be those that walk into a service and hear these testimonies and walk away and say, wow, that was amazing. But not respond. Father, this morning, we want to respond to the evidence of your goodness. And so, Lord, I want to pray for people here this morning that also need a breakthrough. Father, that also need a Stefan miracle, Lord. Something, some need, God, that for others seem insignificant. But for them, Lord, it is significant. And I pray, Father, that you would do the same. And in fact, that you would use the insignificance just to show them how significant they are to you. So I pray this morning, Lord, for people that need breakthrough, Lord, in some area of provision. Lord, how we've seen how you just came through literally a miracle for the church. We give you praise. We give you glory. Only you could have done that. Lord, I stand amazed. I stand gobsmacked at your provision. I pray for people that need provision this morning, whether it's financially, Lord, whether it's just some practical thing, an item, a clothing item, a cooking utensil, something, maybe it's a car part or whatever. You know, Lord, that's the whole point. You know, we don't know. But you know. And so I pray, Lord, that we would just be encouraged and stirred in our faith this morning by these testimonies. Lord, I want to pray for people that are sick in their bodies. I want to pray for people that are emotionally distressed. I want to pray for people that are suffering from depression. And Lord, you know all the needs. You know, Father, all the struggles, God, all the challenges that they face. And this morning, we want to respond to that which you have done, Lord. And we want to say, you can do it again. If you did it for them, you can do it for me. If you did it for that brother or sister, you can do it for me. And I pray, Lord, that faith will rise and that would be people's prayer this morning, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for boldness right now, even as Derek shared, Lord, that we would be the people that say, Meneer, Mevrou, God, pray for me. God, do it for me. God, intervene for me. But I pray for the activation of mouths, Lord, and as they do this morning, Lord, that you would arise and respond to their faith, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. And so just there where you're sitting, if you're a person here this morning and you were encouraged or stirred by one of these testimonies, but you know there's a lack in your life and there's an area of something that you trust in God to come through, I really felt that we need to respond this morning and just respond boldly.